Welcome to the Infotainment Podcast Initiating Startup Sequence.
Hi, my name is Randy, and the Infotainment Podcast will begin shortly. I will be your round mound of podcast sound, pound for pound, the best podcast around. Please listen carefully as my menu options have changed. How many of you have heard that when dealing with customer service? And also the statement, your call is very important to us. Please hold for the next available operator. Oh my God. I had a story, but I lost it. I got to start recording these stories when I find them right away. But it basically said, no, your call is not very important to the companies, because if you want money, if you are owed money from this company or want to complain about something, return about something, they do not want to deal with it. Their basic goal is to get you on and off the phone as quickly as possible without too much hassle, or switch you to somebody else. I like to relay a couple experiences I have had. The other day I have to deal with this insurance company, and I told them specifically what I wanted them to do was to send a letter with this year's date on it, because that's the only way it would be accepted by the parties I had to give it to. I told them to send it and email it. And of course, they did email it, but they put 2018 on it. No, it's got to have this year's date on it. So, I don't know. Customer service is the most frustrating thing in the world, I think, dealing with them. And also, another thing I had to do, this was canceling a credit card because I had an annual fee on it, and now I have a card or cards with no annual fee, and I wanted to drop their card, and they put me on hold for an eternity, hoping that I would hang up and discuss and just forget about it, but no, I hung in there. Oh, in that case, the first person I was talking to transferred me to somebody else, and they weren't available, so I waited on hold for them for an eternity, and then it came back to the first person I talked with, and they said, oh, well, I can do this. Well, why didn't you do it the first time? And it's like, get you off the phone as soon as possible. If my call is so important to your organization, company, you would have enough people there to answer the phones in a reasonable amount of time and not listen to 20, 30 minutes of bad music. But that's the way it goes. I wish I had a way to thwart that. I've heard some different ways. I might look them up. And by dialing zero or something like that, you can get to a real person right away. Because sometimes their menu options are not helpful for the questions I have. They have a lot of menu options, that's for sure, but probably for 90-some percent, they do help. But it just strings you along until you can get to a person who will probably get what you want done wrong anyway. So it's a never-ending vicious cycle with customer service. I tell you, I could go on and on about customer service crap I have had to deal with lately. Please press 1 if you'd like me to move on to another topic. And I can hear ones being pressed all over the globe. which now I actually have had a couple downloads from the Bahamas. I'd like to welcome them on board to the podcast. Hope they keep listening. And now I'll move on to this story. It is from a few years ago, but it still is kind of humorous. Let's see. It's sex of a different nature has popped up in Brazil, where an online sex store called Sexonico is currently, well, not currently, but a while back, they held a bidding war for the virginity of Valentina. Brazil's first lifelike sex doll. It is not robotic in any way as they're currently working on, but so far for the bids for the faux lady's flower have surpassed $105,000. Now that's a sign of desperation. But that includes a night, at least at that time, night in the presidential suite of a Sao Paulo motel, a candlelit dinner with French champagne, and an aromatic bath with rose petals. Oh, and lingerie for the sex doll. He was a little disgusted with her because she couldn't say a word in her... Well, the word she was saying was, oh, repeatedly, so I don't know that. This is not the spending cold, hard cash like that on a sex doll might seem dumb, like the guy paying $105,000 for a doll experience, but it's not as stupid as the actions of a woman in Denver who came in possession of a stolen driver's license belonging to Applebee's waitress Brianna Pretty and tried to use it to purchase alcohol from Applebee's waitress Brianna Pretty. That isn't the only weird thing that happened involving alcohol. James White, a student at the University of York in England, was officially banned from owning a pet for 8 years after he drunkenly fried up his roommate's hamster. Oh my God. I wonder what seasoning he used for, if he used Morton salt. Oh, wow, 8 years for frying up a hamster. White told the court that he could not remember the details of the incident. What happened that night is still shrouded in mystery, he said. Ooh, this week, Caden Bibeau had a memorable party for his second birthday that anyone would want to forget. The celebration was canceled after his family found a knife left in the cake by an employee at a Walmart in Lewiston, Maine, where he bought it. For those of you who enjoy the infotainment podcast, you might enjoy listening to my stand-up comedy special available at patreon.com/infotainment. It is called the Aggressive Comedy Club Experience. It sounds like you are in a real comedy club, and it's 26 minutes of stuff that you will not hear on any of my free podcasts. So for the fans of this show, for a small donation, any donation you like, you can become a patron and unlock that special. And I'm already started on my next comedy club experience. I figure you don't need to hear it because at one time comedians did stuff on albums. Before the creation of Netflix specials. Not video, but not exactly family friendly, so I don't know if YouTube would allow me to make money off that or not. But it is funny, and it's not stuff that you would hear on my free podcasts that are available almost anywhere, except maybe Pandora. Even on iHeartRadio, Spotify, TuneIn, Stitcher, Blueberry, Podbean, Podomatic, all sorts of phone app. Yes, I do realize that I misspoke earlier. Please do become a patron of the Infotainment Podcast, and you can listen to the funny comedy special that does not appear on any other episode. And I'm also working on my second half hour of it, hopefully to juice it up to an hour or a little bit more. So sign up today at patreon.com/infotainment. But now let's move on to something else. Now, the next topic I bring up is, I guess we'd put it under the heading of a moral dilemma for a party. This happened in Owosso, Michigan, and it is about a footstool that didn't feel exactly right. And that's when somebody stashes $43,170 inside and apparently forgets about it. Indeed, the money was discovered inside a footstool that was donated to a Michigan resale shop in Owosso Township. Howard Kirby bought the piece and other furniture for $70 after Christmas. He was stunned Sunday when his daughter-in-law unzipped the cushion and shouted after the shock wore off. He began the extraordinary step of returning the money to the former owners. I do what I can to be as much like Christ as I can, and this is the moral thing to do, Kirby, 54, said. This is going to help them. I'm so happy for them. The footstool was part of a living room set donated to a Habitat for Humanity store by Kim Faith Foth Newberry and her husband. The furniture had belonged to her grandfather, Philip Foth, who died in July. So they didn't even check out the footstool to see that it even felt a little funny before they decided to donate it. Foth Newberry said Foth was a frugal man who always paid in cash, even $9,000 for a new roof. The newly discovered money was separated with paper clips and topped with handwritten notes. This is crazy, Foth Newberry said Thursday, staring at stacks of $100 bills. Now, if I had the same problem, which would be more like me curing cancer or something like that, or parting the Pacific Ocean, I would maybe God is trying to bless me, because these people, you got to figure that the party that donated this was totally unaware of this and didn't realize that the money was in the footstool. And all they could say is, this is crazy. You know, I would have at least said thank you to the man for returning the money. I would have a really tough time thinking that that would be a nice amount of money to put down on a new truck. If they're not checking their furniture enough for that kind of problem, I don't know. Because I read a story one time a long time ago. I don't know if I put it on a podcast or not, but I probably did, where this party found like $38,000 and it was in like a Brinks bag from a certain bank. And these people tried every which way to give the money back, but were turned away because of whatever reasons. And finally, they took the money back. And the person in charge there, basically what he said was, I don't know why they didn't keep the money. Our insurance covers it anyway. Those were his exact words, but basically that's what he said. I would just consider it a blessing to me. And after what the great county I live in, the things they have refused to allow me to go to and stuff they did to me, they can, if nothing else, if I don't find $47,000 somewhere, something I buy at a rummage sale, the county and state can and government can pay me to do my podcast. I would like to get patrons, but who knows, you know? And I would like the county and state pay for some of the things they would not allow me to do, some of which involved keeping me from visiting my mother, which she was basically on her upcoming deathbed, was one thing. And the other one I don't care to mention, but I was not allowed to be there, but I guess it all worked out. But I don't forgive easily, even though I may not state it to people. You know, I would have known that these people didn't know that the money was there. I would have just kept it. If that's all you can just say when you get returned that money, this is crazy, and not say, do something classy like we're going to give him part of the money as a finder's fee for returning it or anything like that. You know, I would have just kept it. I don't care. It would go for a nice vehicle. Maybe that's not the right thing, but that's the way I feel at this moment. That's how we would deal. How would you deal with that? I suppose most people would say they'd return it, but there's some, maybe not. Maybe most people would keep it. Just consider it a gift from God. You know, maybe it's a blessing to you. How do you know what, you know? I mean, you get that much money dropped in your lap, and I mean, I don't know how much the parties involved needed the money, but he was happy that they got the money back and that they were able to reap the rewards of that. I could certainly use a problem like that. It is also obvious that the person who found the money didn't really need it, or he wouldn't have given it back. It is unfortunate that somebody like myself or somebody who is worse off financially than I am, which is kind of hard to believe, but it is true, because I know some of them couldn't have found that money. But that's the way it goes. And I, you know, after he gives it back, there is a phrase out there, no good deed goes unpunished. And I'm becoming a pretty big believer in that comment. But now maybe it's time to move on to something completely different. Of all the streaming services and places that push out video content, I have Netflix at the moment is my only streaming service, but it seems that I wind up on YouTube the most because, well, with Netflix, in the search bar, I usually type in the title of the movie I want to watch, and it gives me the movie titles related to. No, I do not want to watch titles related to. I want to watch the movie I typed in the search bar. That's one of my big gripes with Netflix. Why am I paying a monthly fee? And this goes for Amazon Prime. Well, they have a little different thing here. I was charged. I did have that for a while, and I had CBS for a while, but then I found Discovery I didn't care for, so I dumped it. On Discovery, you look for a movie that you wanted to watch, and that movie you either had to rent or buy that. Why am I paying a separate fee on top of my monthly fee to watch a movie? They're just becoming glorified video stores. If I had the money and stuff like that and could get it approved and worked on, I would have a website called America's Movie Theater, which would show first-run movies on the exact same day they are released to movie theaters. That would be my ultimate goal. I would pay a little bit more just to watch it in the comfort of my own house, and so I can have the volume at the level I want it at, and not the supersonic, but the volume on movies today is extremely loud in a movie theater. And also the music. Do we have to have music on every aspect of a movie? A lot of times the music is so loud that it makes the dialogue of the actors unintelligible. I do not see why that is necessary. But for those of you who are being, for you Star Trek fans that know every little minutia of Star Trek there is, I pretty much have given up on science fiction episodes and started watching Longmire and other movies that deal with real people and real dialogue. But I did see one reviewer of the new show, Picard. He was not my favorite actor for the Star Trek franchise. So if they would have had an Enterprise reboot with all the original cast members brought back, with the crewman Daniels making some sort of time adjustment so Trip was still alive, and it would have been given like a 3-season proper ending. Brandon Braga and Rick Berman have apologized for the last episode and possibly Trip's killing, which was stupid. Since Les Moonves and CBS have pretty much ruined the franchise, I would think. I would like to hear what Berman and Braga think about what CBS is doing to Star Trek. I wish that Paramount would be given total control over everything, merchandising and all that, and stop this splintering off into 3 different directions with the J.J. Abrams stuff that wasn't received well. But this one reviewer had seen Picard, the first episode, and he practically had an erection over it as to how good it was. And my theory on this is every little bit of promotion they did, they had Jerry Ryan in every little get-together of Star Trek characters that were going to be in this show. Turns out nobody mentioned her being in the first episode. What I've seen of her deal was she was talking to Picard for a while, and she does not hold a real extreme reverence for his career. And also, what a frumpy outfit they give her. I'll admit it, I like a little eye candy in my Star Trek universe, and she could still pull it off in some way, not like she did in the original Voyager series. But if Enterprise came back and with Rick Berman and Brandon Braga to right the wrongs of the final episode, which they didn't say this, but I will say it, which was a real turd. And Les Moonves canceling it, and he's a real turd too. So And I guess he is out of there. So I will wait on this. I don't know if eventually you'll be able to stream the whole thing uninterrupted or what at eventually one point. I would think so. Maybe I will sign up then and binge it if it continues to be getting good reviews. But I guess data only returns in dream sequences. I guess I have watched some spoiler videos on YouTube. Boy, it is amazing how YouTube can just ruin a movie's premiere and stuff like that, and give reviews on it, and basically with spoilers and stuff like that. I didn't even need to see Endgame. I saw the major battle scene and Tony Stark dying as Iron Man, and some of the things I didn't know about. I still don't know about the I Love You 3000 deal with him and his daughter. So that goes the way it goes. But hopefully Picard does well. I have my doubts that Jerry Ryan will appear in more than three episodes in the first season, maybe three or four, like it was on the show Bosch on Amazon Prime. The way they listed her in the credits was that she was going to be a regular cast member because she was listed the same as the main actor of the series. And here I thought she was joining the cast and find out she was like in two or three episodes. So that kind of pissed me off. But that's the way it goes. They're banking on the total nerd culture to jump on and just pop erections over this Picard series. So since Discovery is kind of not doing so well and Netflix is not really happy with its performance, it's unfortunate that the Star Trek universe has to be so splintered as far as the timeline goes. Even if Voyager came back in a series, I would have jumped on board on that with all the original cast members. But that's not to be. We have to move forward, and I would have to go through a lot of Next Generation episodes, at least the one about creating a mass amount of datas, and now it's about synthetics kind of destroying the Armada, which was going to rescue all the members of Romulus that were still alive, and a whole plot around that. I may sign up for it later down the road if I can see it. So it is funny that the most time I spend is on YouTube before Netflix. The one thing I did really like was the show Longmire. That if anything should get a movie or two out of it, or revamped and brought back, because I noticed that it is still being shown. If that got such bad ratings, it's unfortunate that their contracts were up. Katie Sackhoff, who played Vic in the program, did mention my name and said their contracts were up, I think, believe on Instagram or Twitter or something like that. And that's the most I've gotten a response to from a starlet, an actress. But I don't know how our show Another Life is performing. So maybe we will see a Longmire movie eventually. And people say I should jump on the Yellowstone bandwagon. I haven't watched from the beginning, and I would need to do that to make any sense of what's happening now with the Kevin Costner series. And I'll wait till that gets to a streaming service. But it is, I'll give them credit for getting Friends for as long as they did. I watched quite a bit of that, kind of remembering that series. But yeah, Amazon Prime, yeah, you pay a monthly fee, and then everything you want to watch is, you got to pay to rent or buy this movie. You get an adequate amount of time to view it and stuff like that. But yeah, let's tack on another fee besides your monthly subscription fee. I don't know, Netflix. Everything I type in is titles related to. No, I don't. I do not want to watch that. I want to watch the movie I typed in. I hear Disney Plus is doing well with The Mandalorian. I guess that show is doing well. I'm not going to sign up for that. So I don't know what I'm going to do with my TV habits. It's so much content out there that it's hard to know what to get.
Initiating shutdown sequence.
Yes, all good things must come to an end. And so must episode 111 of Infotainment. I would like to thank my listeners to this episode. You can email me at randyms12@gmail.com. Tweet my Twitters at randypodcaster. Check out my Infotainment Facebook page. You can also listen to my stand-up comedy experience at patreon.com/infotainment. It is about a half hour of stand-up material that I would perform at a club. And it sounds like an actual comedy club. And it's not material that you would have heard on a free podcast that I've done. So, as always, I would like to say I hope you have a pleasant day and a happy ending tonight.